Most people will suffer an episode of back pain sometime in their lives, often more than one. It's a huge cause of lost days at work and medical costs, not to mention the disability that can be involved. Now, you can find experts who say that jogging is poison for the back because it pummels the spine. But a World First study from Deakin University on the effects of jogging and running on intervertebral discs suggests otherwise. The lead author is Daniel Bellavy, and he's in our Melbourne studio. Welcome to the Health Report.
Good evening, Norman.
So tell us about this study.
Well, as you introduced, the back pain is a massive problem for Australian society, and it's the leading cause of disability and lost productivity in the country, even when you account for more deaths due to other diseases. And in managing this sort of issue, I wanted to look at was to see, can we find ways to, for example, strengthen the discs in the back? And the conventional wisdom in the research field is that either you can't, or if there is an effect, that it's going to be too slow to have a meaningful effect in a person's life.
And also there was no evidence, whilst there was some evidence in animals, there was no evidence in humans that exercise did make a difference.
Precisely. And that's the thing is that what might happen or be relevant in an animal mightn't be the case in humans.
And we're talking about the shock absorbers between the vertebrae, the bones and the spine.
Precisely, yeah. And as I said, the animals, this research has been done with them before, but their metabolism is a lot faster, and also they walk on all fours. And whether that applies then to humans is not on the matter.
So tell us what you did in the study.
Well, what I decided to do is to look at certain kinds of physical activity that we think are possibly going to be, at the very worst, not detrimental to the spine at high volumes, or that might be beneficial. Now, based upon this work from animals and also from other studies we've seen before, I thought that examining walking or running might be a good way to see if this exercise can actually improve the discs.
So you have three groups of young people, relatively young people, 25, 35, men and women,
yep,
with varying levels of activity. Tell us about the varying levels of activity.
Well, we had obviously a group of people who didn't do any sport at all. They were healthy, right? They had no back problems at all, but they just were simply not involved in any regular physical activity. And then we had a group of people who regularly run marathons, so running at least 50 kilometres a week and doing that for at least 5 years. And also a group of people who were regular joggers, so running 20 to 40 kilometres a week, and also for at least 5 years, but also, again, no other kind of sports. We just looked at people who just ran, so triathletes and so forth we didn't look at.
And you did MRIs on their backs.
Yep. Yep.
What did you find?
Well,
so this is not a randomised trial. This is just
seeing what the effect was, because I mean, because there's no data before at all in humans, before you go off and do the randomised control trial, you need to see if there is any kind of effect at all. And this is back in the studies of on bone in the late 80s and early 90s, you needed that first cross-sectional study between different types of sports or different types of athletic groups to see if there was a difference. And that was then the justification to say, look, okay, let's go off and do a randomized controlled trial.
So what did you find about their discs?
Well, we found that the runners had better discs. And most interestingly, on the one hand, we found there was more water or more hydration in the disc. And that's indicative of a healthier disc. Right, and we also found in the marathon runners, and I was personally really, really surprised about this finding, that their discs were actually bigger, like compared to the size of their bones in the spine, the discs were a lot bigger, and that's indicated that the disc has actually got bigger in response to the loading.
And this is controlled for, because your muscles around the spine are going to be stronger and so on. So if you control,
well, not necessarily. No, the muscles actually, there's no difference. There's no difference between the different groups in their muscle size, Yes.
And so this is a pure effect on the things. But I thought there wasn't that much difference between the joggers and the long-distance runners.
There wasn't much of a difference between the two, that's true. And that did surprise me a little bit. I thought we might see, a sort of a stepwise effect. But looking at the data further, it seemed like sometimes you hit a ceiling with how much of a response you can get from a tissue. Like you can do muscle training as much as you want. You will only get so far, no matter how much you train your muscle. It won't keep on expanding. And keep on getting bitter.
So bigger. Why this effect then? So basically healthier, larger discs with jogging and running, mm-hmm. And 150 minutes a week, I think is what you said, with the jogging roughly.
Yep.
So what was causing it? Was it the impact or what?
Well, of course, because it's a cross-sectional study, we can't be 100% certain, but we had a look, we had a detailed look at the people's physical activity, right? And we quantified that. And what we found is that it doesn't appear to be the actual loading or the loading on the spine from running or from jogging. Rather, it looks like it might even be in that walking loading phase or slow jogging.
So you describe this as acceleration. So this
in
is
in the paper. Yeah,
in
yep.
the paper. So this is, you know, if you go for a jog, certainly if you're me going for a jog, you're not jogging flat out the whole time. You've got to stop to cross the road, you know, make a concession to motor cars and things like that. Yeah. So it's that slowing down, starting up that seems to stress the spine and make the discs larger. Is that what it is?
That we can't say, not from the data. I mean, it looks like, well, I guess the key message that came out of the further analyses was that it doesn't appear that you have to go off and become a marathon runner to get this effect. You know, you don't have to start jogging 40Ks a week and keep doing it for 5 years. It looks like...
And it doesn't seem to matter whether you run on grass or concrete.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, that probably doesn't matter too much for this kind of a thing. There's a lot of dampening of forces when you might feel more shock forces in your lower leg if you're running on concrete, but by the time that gets up to your spine, that's been dampened a lot. I mean, we can't answer that question here, but...
So you're still not absolutely sure what causes it, but it doesn't look... It's certainly not doing you any harm, it does you some good. And does this inform back pain at all?
Yes, it does. I mean, the key thing about this finding for back pain is that it helps us understand what kinds of physical activity are good for the spine. Right? It's one thing to avoid things we know are risky, but you want to be able to make things better. And from the point of view of preventing back pain, this is what I think this is important for. I mean, whether, you know, you can treat back pain by going for a run, that's another issue. I mean, it's important to keep active when you have back pain. It's very important. But I view it as being very important for prevention to know, you know, what kinds of physical activity do we need to do to be treating our spines well and reduce the risks of getting back problems.
And do these 35-year-olds have clapped out knees because of their running?
No.
Yep. So that's another myth.
I mean, obviously, there is, like, if you're going off and doing marathon running, you know, there's a risk of overuse injuries. But this was a healthy collective. And they don't get those, they weren't all wrecks in the lower legs because of that or anything like that, no.
Fascinating. Daniel, thank you. We'll look forward to your randomised trial.
Okay. Thank you, Norman.
Daniel Bellavy is an associate professor in the Institute of Physical Activity and Nutrition at Deakin University in Melbourne.